Welcome to For the Love of Books, Bees Books Edition, a podcast by North Lanarkshire Libraries.
Hello, this is Barry.
And this is Jenny. And we're here to talk about
Bees Books. So before we start, I think we're going to have to prepare our listeners for this level of energy throughout the conversation. Both Jenny and I are pretty tired
they
today.
Are, yes.
Yeah, maybe talking about books will wake us up, but
yes.
Maybe not.
Well, if we're talking about our old favourites,
that's
which is
true.
The theme,
that's
yeah, maybe
true.
That will wake us up.
It's already seeming to work.
Yes.
It's magic on you, me. Not so much. You can like take both our energy
right, okay. And
all the books and take
I'll
over
try.
The world. But yeah, so as the theme that you said was old favourites, which is seemingly an easy theme. But for anybody who reads as much books as we do, it's quite difficult to
pick.
So it's like choosing among children, I'm assuming.
Yes.
You know, you choose a favourite child, it's the same thing as having a favourite book, obviously.
Well, I changed my mind about 20 times.
Oh,
and
did you?
The ones that I have chosen are not the ones that I had chosen yesterday.
Oh,
if you see what I mean.
Yes, I would love to hear about your books.
The first is my favourite author,
okay.
Which is Terry Pratchett,
oh,
who I know that you also
yes.
love, so I wanted to talk about him.
Okay.
And my second one is, and we have spoken about this before,
uh-huh.
my favourite author,
oh,
second favourite author,
yeah.
Frederick Bachman,
yeah.
And I want to talk about Beartown
Ooh.
/ The Scandal, which
oh.
is the same book with a different title.
Is it?
Yes,
oh, that
is
quite a scandal.
Yes.
Well,
what have you chosen? I've seen more than one.
I went in a different direction also with came with four books.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about old favourites and I was trying to sort of capture my different reading journey. So I've got
oh.
one book from when I was a child, a favourite,
mm-hmm.
The Famous Five by
Excellent.
Enid Blyton, Five on a Treasure Island. Like I think I mentioned this before, I grew up like a lot of people in India reading a lot of Enid Blyton books. And The Famous Five, I loved this series about these four children and a dog who just find themselves into increasingly unlikely adventures. And I reread this last week while I was in the middle of like other work and things. So it was so nice to just come and revisit like, you know, familiar people, you know. But yeah, I didn't remember anything of it. This is the good thing about having a terrible memory. Like I was like, yeah, this, like, you know, I know the vibes of this story, but I don't actually know anything that happened. I knew they weren't gonna die because it's the
yes.
first book in the series. But then in my 20s I discovered this book that I love. It's called Fly by Night
oh.
by Frances Harding. And this is audio, I don't even know what it's called, a 12 compact disc digital audio according to this. It is 12 CDs and I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but I listen to them on my phone, like
mm-hmm.
on the app. So I'm just out and about. With this, I was tethered to my laptop at home because it's CDs and I don't have a CD player. But it's quite nice. It was quite a nice experience of just sitting and like you know when you were a kid, I don't think I had a lot of adults read out to me. I do that now as an adult, read
mm-hmm.
out to kids, but it was like another adult just reading out a story to you, which
mm-hmm.
was without me, like I mean like I said, I listen to a lot of books, but I'm usually walking or doing something, or you know, so it's not just me sitting and listening to a story. So that was really nice. Then in my 30s and also 20s I also
oh,
have Terry
excellent.
Pratchett. So this is a project that I've done. I started reading Terry Pratchett in my 20s, I think out of order a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved them so much, the books, the few books that I read. I decided that I'm going to start a project in my which I started in my 30s, I think maybe late 20s, of reading them all in order. So I'm rereading the ones I'd already read.
Mm-hmm.
So the next on my list is Lords and Ladies,
excellent.
Which I'd read like about 7 years ago. So no idea what happens in it, which is great because,
yes.
you know, it's like having a new Terry Pratchett book to look forward to. And the last book is Sophia Valdez, Future Press by Andrea Beattie and illustrated by David Roberts, which is this beautiful picture book that I did not read when I was a picture book reading age, but I wish I had.
Mm-hmm.
This is the book I think I wish I'd had when I was a child. So it's a part of a series of books. The first one I want to say is, yeah, Rosie Revere, Engineer. There's Ada Twist, Scientist, Iggy Peck, Architect. And they're just like really beautifully illustrated books, and with like this core strong central character, and just like a day in their lives, I guess, or a week in their lives. So this is the kind of book that I think children now would appreciate, adults would appreciate. I love. So, yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I think we'll leave Terry Pratchett to the end then, yeah, since we both want to talk,
yes,
about him.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But I will tell you a wee quick bit about my Frederick Bachman, mm-hmm, book. So, yes, I'm showing you this. Obviously, I can't show you at home.
Yeah.
But The Scandal and Beartown are the same book. When it first came out, mm-hmm, in this country, it was called The Scandal.
Oh, I see.
And then it came out again as Beartown.
Okay.
And it's by the wonderful Frederick Bachman, who is just a glorious writer. I could gush all day about how he writes. He is from a cold country, and his books are usually set in a cold country, but it could be Canada, it could be Switzerland, it could be Norway, it could be anywhere like that. They're very familiar to you, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to know about the country.
Yeah.
It's not about that country,
yeah,
if you see what I mean. And I want to read out the blurb for the book. So, late one evening towards the end of March, a teenager picked up a double-barreled shotgun, walked into the forest, put the gun to someone else's forehead and pulled the trigger. This is the story of how we got there.
Mm.
So basically, this is the story, and it's set in Sweden, just to clear that up, so basically that doesn't happen till about there, like
right at
the end, and it's basically how we got there. But there's a twist to it, because that's not actually the scandal itself, you know, something comes before. But what I love about Frederick Bachman is that he represents each generation in such a glorious way. So there's a group of younger kids, so 12, 13, 14 year olds. There's the slightly older kids, sort of 16, 17 year olds. Then there's the kind of parents, and then there's the grandparents, and then there's like aunts and uncles in between.
Yeah.
So it's like all the ages, and basically it's set in this small town, Beartown, and they're very much into hockey.
Okay.
This is what they live for. And something happens which disrupts the whole hockey-ness.
Yeah.
And it's how everybody copes with that, whose side they take. You know, the die-hard hockey people are like, well, we don't care about that. That's, you know, we just want this,
yeah,
competition to go on. And then the other ones are kind of saying, well, no, that was a bad thing,
yeah,
so we have to reflect on that and work out how we can move on from that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say this all without telling what the actual scandal is.
So does the scandal happen pretty early on?
No, the scandal happens quite late as well.
Okay.
So, and what he does brilliantly is the build up to it. So you just constantly know something's going to happen, and you want to rush through the book to find out what happens.
Do you know who's involved and what happens, or is that also a mystery?
Don't really. You kind of, like, you know, even the two teenagers, you kind of don't know which teenagers it is.
Yeah.
And there's just this kind of, the suspense is just, it's the kind of book you need to read in one go, because you won't want to put it down.
Yeah.
You just, like, and every time you think, right, I can take a breath now, somebody else's story, you know, and you're like, oh wait a minute, wait a minute. And he just writes so well. There is a bigger blurb to the story. Please don't read that before you read the story. If you're going to read it, just that tiny wee blurb kind of set the scene, and then just get right into it. And throughout the book, you will find, and now I won't be able to find it, there we go. So, because it's all about hockey, it starts off with somebody practicing hockey in the garden. So every now and again, he'll put the word bang in, so you know that the puck is hitting off something. But right throughout the story, you know, there's a bang, 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 and it kind of, it adds to the story. It kind of takes you by surprise, but it's kind of like, oh, right, okay, something. It keeps the momentum going. You're like, oh, right, okay, bang, right, okay, what's happening now? Bang, okay, oh, no, right, okay. And it's just wonderful. I love all his books, but this is now a trilogy.
Okay.
And it is a trilogy, none of this nonsense, which we both don't like, but also Tamsin, hurry up. It's wonderful, because at the end of Beartown, there's a few characters that you want to know their story.
Yeah.
And when I found out that there was a second book, because it was a while between, it was like, oh, thank goodness for that, because I wanted to find out. And then at the end of the second book, I was like, oh, you need to write a third, because we need to finish off some of these stories.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't gush enough about it.
Do you think you influenced Frederick, first name basis, his mind with your, like, oh, he has to write a third book, and then a third book appeared?
I would like to think so, but that energy has went into Tamsin's fourth book, and that's not worked yet. So, and both of us are trying we're cancelling each other out.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we should take turns.
Yes. But they're wonderful. You probably, people will know a man called Ove. Mm-hmm. Or Ove, or Otto, as they've changed it to in a new screen adaptation.
Okay.
It's a wonderful book as well, and that's the first book of his I read.
Uh-huh.
And it does the same. It interweaves everybody's, like, every generation, and it makes you realise that, you know, when you're older and you kind of look back when you were young, you kind of think, ah. And when you're young, you look at old people and go, oh, I'll never be like that. It's that kind of a thing where, you know, some of the kids, you think, when they grow up, they'll look back and they'll go, oh, that, you know, we should have done that. Whereas the older ones are looking at the kids going, why are you doing that? You know, it's things like that.
That's so interesting because, you know, when I was reading this book, The Famous Five, rereading it, I guess, I was messaging my friends, two of my friends from India who've also grown up with, like, The Famous Five and Enid Blyton. And we read these books first when we were children, like when we were, you know, like 10 or whatever, in our, like, early teens. And we could identify so much with the children. And now there was this, there's this character. So it's about these four kids, cousins and a dog, one of their dogs. And they have, like, an island to explore, a Kiran Island. And it's just, like, you know, these four kids and a dog on an island by themselves, just exploring the ruins of a castle. And then there's a sunken treasure ship, or ship, which might have treasure in it. So it's a treasure hunt as well, which is why it's called Treasure Island. And it's just, like, with food and picnics and, you know, like, things that kids do. But there's also this grumpy uncle, a very grumpy uncle, which we remembered as being this really, you know, when we were kids, we were like, oh, he's always getting in the way. Whereas now we could find ourselves identifying with the grumpy uncle because he just wants to get his book written. He just wants to work. And they keep, like, making so much noise, such a ruckus. And then at one point, like, they found something, this treasure thing, a box. They don't know what's in it. They don't know how to open it. They tried opening and they couldn't. So one of them has this bright idea. Go to the top of the house and drop it. Then it'll break open and, you know, the box will break open. Which is what they proceed to do when this uncle comes out. Like, what's going on? You kids, you know, shaking his fist at them. Which me and my friends absolutely identify with now. And then he takes the box away. And he, like, puts it, locks it up in his, or keeps it in his study. So they have, like, this plan of, like, getting it back when he's not in his study. But he's just been, like, cooped up in there working all day. And one of the cousins says to, like, another that, you know, this, he's just not been out for hours. He doesn't live a very healthy lifestyle, I think. Very worried about him. I'm like, oh my God, we are Uncle Quentin. So it's, like, it's so strange. Even, like, the shows and things, you know, when you rewatch things. Especially, like, Gilmore Girls was one that I grew up watching, and I was much closer to the age of the teenager then, and now I'm, like, closer to the age of the mother, and how your perspective shifts a bit, like what you were saying in Frederick Bachman's thing, that it's interesting to see your own, like, you know, thinking, I guess, not evolve, but change, in perspective. But absolutely recommend, I think, revisiting your favourites, because I think you get so caught up in reading the newest thing, because there's so many books that you want to get through. So the other one, Fly By Night, I'll give you, like, a quick synopsis of it, because I'm only into disc 3 of a 12 disc CD thing, and, like I said, I have zero memory of this. All I remembered that I loved this book. This was my first Frances Harding book. And at that time, I used to recommend her as the best author you've never heard of in India. And even now, I think she's now more popular than she used to be, because some of her later books have won awards and things. But this is, like, one of her early
books. Is she a teenage author?
Sort of. So it's a 12-year-old protagonist, Mosca Mai, and she usually writes about, like, 12-year-olds. But I feel like it's a book for all ages. Like, it can be read by, you know, like, sort of precocious younger readers, because it's, like, middle grade. but I think adults as well. So it's set in like this alternative, really mad, unhinged version of 18th century England.
Mm-hmm.
So it has like things that you can recognize, I think, like sort of the vibes that you can recognize. There's like highwaymen and these cities and political like fractures and kingdoms, and like everyone has, you know, like they follow some king or ruler or whatever, and it's all like political fracas. But it's mostly about Mosca, who's 12, who's run away from her home after accidentally setting fire to her uncle's barn, as you do. And she's with her companion, Saracen, who is a homicidal goose, her best friend.
Excellent.
Yeah. And she meets with this con man, who is this wordsmith con man. He, like, cons people using, like, flourishes of language and like words and linguistic like sort of shenanigans. Eponymous Clent is his name.
Excellent name.
It's just like the sort of the turns of phrases that she uses, the descriptions. Like, I read a review in which the reviewer was not a fan of it. But I love it. And especially like in this kind of kingdom, there's like these guilds that control things. So there's a stationer's guild that controls the things that you're allowed to read, a locksmith's guild, a bit like Terry Pratchett, mm-hmm. actually, which could sort of like is responsible for the safety, and they like go after thieves that they've not employed to steal things,
mm-hmm.
things like that. And there's lots of conspiracies and plot twists. So she's just like, you know, trying to live a life, I guess. And like she's hooked up herself up with as a secretary of this Clint, and they just find themselves into all these plots and conspiracies, and they don't know what's going on. I didn't know all this. I didn't remember all this. So I had written a review. I used to have a book blog, which is what I was reading with a lot of concentration just before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading my review of this book, and I was like, oh my God, this sounds like a fantastic book. I recommended it to myself. And I had no, there's like ruler, insane rulers and silly wigs is a phrase that I've used. Just like, and to the Stationers Guild, there's like an illegal printing press that they really want to try and find, because this illegal printing press is using words and ideas that is not allowed.
Ooh.
And will create ferment unrest among the people. So there's like that.
Ooh.
Thing going on. There's a crocodile, like a murderous crocodile randomly that I listened to the other day that I have zero memory of. It's just all a bit mad, but really fun. Like, it's an adventure,
mm-hmm.
but it's all about also like, you know, ideas and words and books and the value and importance of them, but also just a world that's a bit familiar, a bit strange, and just really fun. And I feel like I'm responsible for starting like a small Frances Harding cult in India, because I went around recommending her to so many people. Like, I went to stay with somebody, and like I gifted them the first book as like a thank you. And she said that, you know, oh, I have so many books at home, you know, it's so many books on my to-read list. I don't know when I'll get around to reading this. Like, she said, thank you, but like, you know, I don't have time and things like that. And then when I went back a week later, I had an email like from her saying, oh, you said there was a second book. I must have this book. This book was the most amazing thing I've read. So like, yeah, and they had work in the publishing industry. So they loved the book so much that they've now, like two of them, they sort of got publishers to get more copies of the book in India. So I take credit.
Excellent.
For
uh-huh.
this.
So you said there's more than one. That's
yeah.
a standalone book.
So it is a standalone book. Like, it wraps it up.
Mm-hmm.
The second book is called Twilight Robbery. Don't ask me what it's about. I just know that it's like a city which in the daytime there's like a specific group of people that live and work in the city, and then the city switches at night time. So at night there's a whole different kind of people that come about, and that's all I remember about that
and
book.
And is it the same characters in
it? It is. So Mosca and Eponymous mm-hmm. are there. But it's like they've traveled to, it's like sort of a traveler memoir adventure kind of thing. They've traveled to this other, so different, all those other characters are new. The two main people are the
mm-hmm.
same. I went, like I'd gone to an event with Frances Harding when I'd first moved here. And I asked her that, are you going to write like a third book in the series? And she's like, I would love to. It's just like publishers and things. I think she stands in mirroring it a little
yes.
bit. I said it correctly.
Well done.
But it's the secret is not to think about it.
No,
just
exactly.
Like,
just say it.
Yeah. So because I think it works well, like, you know, like the Terry Pratchett
mm-hmm.
books as well, which I, like we'll get to talking to, like they stand alone. But there's so much potential to explore more with the same characters in a different corner of the world. So fully recommend. My philosophy in my 20s has been that I always need a Frances Harding book to look forward to, an unread one. So currently my unread Frances Harding is Deep Light, which looks beautiful. It's like this under the sea adventure. Presumably, I don't know. I haven't read it. But she has written like about 8 books or so far. All of them have been like great. I've loved all of them.
I've seen the books on the shelves, not this one, but the other ones. And their covers are always beautiful.
Yeah.
Always beautiful. And I do every now and again pick one up and go, I don't have time.
This is what... This will... Maybe the audiobook will not convert you, but pick up another book, because this is how I got my... that one person in India and started a cult accidentally.
I like, though, that earlier you said you were tethered to your laptop with it. So unlike a book which you can read in any room or one of your silly things that you walk and listen to at the same time, I hadn't thought about that. If you've got a CD, you're kind of stuck where your laptop is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's quite interesting.
It was. It got a little bit getting used to, because I'm so used to doing things when I'm listening to a book. I'm like either folding laundry or doing the dishes or walking about or getting to my train and things. But it was quite nice. Like I said, it was like being read to, as you would, like a child would be read to. And like, I was just listening. So I listened to a CD a day. Yesterday, I didn't have time to until the end, but I did want to finish one of my CDs. So I was cooking like a risotto for dinner.
Nice.
And perfectly timed, because the risotto took a really long time. So it was enough for that one CD. But it was just lovely to like, it's, because then you're not like forced to do other things. You can just sit and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Mind wanders a bit. It's a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
For I guess you can listen. Some cars have CD players. So I think it would be great to like listen to on long drives or like short commuter drives. Mm-hmm. But it's a different experience. But one that I would, I think, explore more. I'd see what other CDs we have.
As you know, I just like a book.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be cuddled up with my book.
Yeah.
And nothing else happening at the time. But I can see.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, try it with like maybe an Agatha Christie or something.
Yeah.
A book maybe that you, a person that you know, an author that you know. So you know what you're getting into, just to like experiment with the experience. Or anybody else who's never experimented with, I guess, audiobooks before.
Yeah.
It is different. It's not the same as reading.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a good different.
Right, and your other book here, I was smiling because I quite enjoy Iggy Peck Architect.
Yes.
Because they are very cleverly named.
Yeah.
I have not read Ada Twist Scientist.
It's very good as well. And I've just opened it for that audio audience who cannot see it, but look up the drawings. They're just so beautifully detailed and just so much personality in like each of the characters. So this book is about Sofia Valdez, who's really like a upstanding member of a community, helps the elderly, helps the animals, helps, like she's very much a community person. And one day her grandfather, Abuelo, trips on like Mount Trashmore, as she calls it, this giant hillock of like just recycled waste that's not been like put properly away. So she decides, I have to do something about this. This is ridiculous. So she, you know, fall of, I think, 8 or 9 or however old she is, decides that we should have a public park here instead.
Oh.
And it's all about how she gets like the adults, the grown-ups involved, ones who are like very like, oh, we can't do this, you know, like we don't have time and things, and gets them on board and goes to the mayor's office and gets them on board, starts a petition. And like, it's very much about like what I think, like, given the theme of these days, young people stepping up and doing things that maybe the adults are not ready to commit to. And it's just like, it's such a small like story, but I think it represents so much more, which is why I think if I read this as a child, or if a child now reads it, it'll get them at that correct sort of developmental age. And I think it'll stay with them that what you can do is, you don't need to be limited by what adults think you can do. So yeah, so fully recommend.
Yes. I do like the kind of wordplay as well on everybody's names.
Yes.
Iggy Peck Architect. And Valdez, Future Praise.
Yes.
You know, it's quite...
I hope she writes one, because it's Miss Greer, Leila Greer's class, like second grade classroom. So I hope she writes one about all the students, because they always make a like cameos in each other. So yeah, there's apparently a TV show and things about it as well. Yeah, like an early chapter book series is an empire. It's the Greerverse.
Oh, excellent.
So now shall we head to Pratchett? Tell me why you love Pratchett so much.
So my parents loved Pratchett. And when I came to start reading grown-up books, because there wasn't a kind of great teenage selection when I was a teenager, I read the first one and I hated it. I got halfway through and I went, nope, this is not for me. And my mum said, give it a go, read a few people. No, not for me.
The first one's the worst one. It genuinely, what's it called?
Is it The Light Fantastic?
Yes.
The Colour Magic?
No,
yes.
The Colour of Magic, yeah.
And there was just two, it was different from what I'd read before. So I had started reading David Eddings, an excellent fantasy author. You know, they were like epic novels, you know, they were like doorstops and things like that. And this was too, I don't want to say flippant, but it wasn't, but at the same time, it had really long words in it that I didn't really understand. And I was like, no, not for me. So away it went. And then a few years later, my mum said, try it again. Read the first two and then read the third one. And by the time you get to the third one, you'll love it. And I was like, summer holidays, it was raining, obviously, at Scotland. And I thought, right, okay. I'd finished most of the David Eddings. I was like, right, okay. And yes, by book three, I was like, oh, I see. And then I just kept going. Absolutely love them. Absolutely love them. He's just wonderful. And I think if you were, like, you're going to start reading them, don't start from number one.
No.
Start from, like, you know, read a Danny Weatherwax one and then go back.
I agree.
Because Rincewind is not my favourite character.
And I don't think Terry Pratchett was as, like, he's become such an institution in comic fantasy and just fantasy in general. But that was, like, his first book. I don't know if it was his first book ever. But as a writer, he's developed so much over, like, whatever, 56 books in the series. That I feel like once you've fallen in love, like with my project, I went back and I sort of read it or maybe listened to it. I don't know. one or the other. But yeah, it's still not my favorite, but I appreciate it more than I would have had I picked that one up first. I think I would have given up on the series if I would have read that, because I'm like, okay, this is fine. It's not, it's okay, but it's not like, it's not earth-shattering.
And what I love about him is, like, I love Death. I love the character Death, who appears many, many times. I love that he has, I don't know what the official word for them is, but the wee bits at the bottom of the page.
Footnotes.
Footnotes, yes, thank you, Parry. I love that.
I,
you know, I love that kind of way that he writes something and you kind of dive down to the bottom, you go, all right, and then you dive back up again.
And the footnotes absolutely contribute to the story because it's like, it's fantasy, it's so much, so it's really difficult to describe what the Discworld series is.
First of
like,
all, we should maybe describe what Discworld is.
So it's a, like, much like Fly By Night's Francis Hardinge's Fly By Night, it's an alternative world, but unlike, like, I mean, it is familiar, like, things are familiar. What's unfamiliar is that it's on a turtle moving through space.
So it's basically a disc, hence Discworld, on the back of four elephants, which stand on the back of a turtle. Something
That, maybe that order.
And it kind of swims through space, so it's not like how we think of our world, orbiting the sun, it just kind of...
So the whole, I think it was maybe in the first book or like in the early books where this idea of the earth being flat is this rebellious, radical idea, much like in our history, the idea of the earth being round. And it's like, what was the turtle moves? That was like the sort of, like the secret
code.
Like people, who, because otherwise they could be killed or punished for it. So to know, to recognize like fellow believers, I guess, the turtle moves is what they whisper to
Which is
other.
Quite a good kind of code word, I think.
But it's just, you know, that I think like gives an example of the kind of zaniness of it, because it is flippant. I think it's quite irreverent in how it treats issues, but it treats like really serious issues.
It does,
but it's not heavy-handed about it. But also, there's so many buts. It's not heavy-handed, but it really does explore them in all the nuance and complexity. Like, yeah. It doesn't have easy, this is good, this is bad kind of people or answers. Even, like, with the villains or in, like, a traditional fantasy, it's quite, I think, empathetic towards mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
And it shows where they're coming from. Like, he's very good at characters, mm-hmm. I think.
Yes.
Like, he, you know, gets so, like, he shows us the world from their perspective,
yeah.
which is,
and that's what
lovely.
I love, is it's all set in one world, but there's different main characters.
Yeah.
So one book might be the Granny Weatherwax ones, which I love. I'm a big fan of my
gran. Yes, the witches.
Yeah, so
yeah.
There's one set in the big city itself.
Yeah.
There's like Rincewind, who's a wizard. There's Vimes, who's part of the Night Watch.
Mm.
The Night Watch ones, I think, you know, are wonderful.
Yeah.
That there's vampires and there's all sorts of things. There's so much going on, but each book is about one set
yeah.
of characters,
yeah.
although there are some crossovers,
yeah.
obviously. But they're just wonderful,
yeah.
and like that, you know, you don't need to read them in order,
no.
but if you do, you kind of get some of their stories.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one it is, but there's one with Granny Weatherwax and the wizards,
yes.
kind of meet up,
yeah.
and you know, it's kind of frowned upon, you know, the witch's magic is not proper,
yeah,
magic,
yeah,
and,
it's not academic,
you know,
and serious,
except
and, yeah.
they're walking through the rain, and
yeah.
Granny Weatherwax is dry,
yeah.
and the wizard is very wet,
uh-huh.
and it's like, oh, wait a minute,
uh-huh.
maybe your magic is quite good,
yeah.
and I think she says something like she just walks around the raindrops
yeah.
or something,
yeah.
you know, it's like their magic is kind of more what we think of as being
fantasy magic,
uh-huh, yes,
mm-hmm.
and like more kind of, you know, we kind of recognise
yeah.
it. Whereas the wizard's magic is very much wizardy,
yeah.
if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, she has a very sort of straightforward, practical approach.
She does.
She's just like, you know, I'll use it when I need it. I won't use it when I don't need it. I mean, she has a term for the psychological warfare that she loves to use. Head, something, head
yes,
magic,
uh-huh, yeah.
something like that. But yeah, so she doesn't always use magic.
No.
But she's just such an interesting character. And it's full. It's peopled with interesting characters.
Is, yes.
Both the good guys and the bad guys and the not so decided guys. You know, they're all Again, I love this project of having like a Terry Pratchett book to look forward
mm-hmm.
to. I think like that's a really nice thing.
Well, talking about that, I've not read the last two
mm-hmm.
in the big Discworld series. So I've read all the Tiffany Aiken, which is kind of a side.
Yeah.
What how I see as a kind of side one, and they're more kind of teenager.
Yes, for children.
But like the main ones, I've not read the last two because I know that there's not going to be any more.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad.
Yeah.
And so I've always got two that I know I'm going to read.
Yeah.
And eventually I will. But I've not read them yet because I
yeah.
know that's it. And it makes me sad.
I mean, it's, yeah, I would absolutely, completely, I would know where you're coming from. Until when I started listening to Fly By Night,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, all I really remembered were the three characters, Mosca, Eponymous, is that how you pronounce his name? Maybe, like the con man, and Saracen, the homicidal goose. That's all I remembered. And I remembered loving it. I remembered the sort of loving the world building that she does and the characters, but nothing of the plot. So now I'm like, I might as well read all Frances Harding.
No,
I might
exactly.
as well read all Terry Pratchett, because when I reread it, I won't have any idea what's happening.
Had COVID not, well, not COVID didn't end, but you know, if we hadn't, I went back to work when we did, that was my next project,
yeah.
was to read. I read a lot of books I'd read before during
yeah.
COVID, and my next was to read the Terry Pratchett's from
yeah.
the beginning, and then we were told we had to come back to work. It's like, boo.
Yeah. I sort of mix it up, so this is going to be my spring thing. I try and read one Terry Pratchett book a season. Sometimes I forget and get distracted by other books, but it's always there
yeah.
for me. So yeah, Lords and Ladies, I think from what I remember, it's like Midsummer Night's Dream kind of thing. So like a bit Shakespeare-y, a bit elvesy.
That's what I like about the stories as well. You know, there's things in them that you can,
mm-hmm.
you know, my favourite is Masquerade because
yeah.
it's the Phantom of the Opera. There's kind of...
Oh, I've never read that
oh,
one.
Oh yeah, there's like wee bits about it, and that's my favourite one.
Yeah.
Just because of that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't steal ideas or anything.
Yeah.
It's more kind of taking something you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And
it's not like
it.
A parody, but it's sort of like it's taking these ideas that people are familiar with and sort of looking at it from a different
yeah,
perspective
uh-huh.
or mixing it all up and bringing something new together. I love how his brain works, and just yeah, I'm very excited to read this one,
mm-hmm.
Which has witches, so I'm assuming there's witches. I've read this book before. But
They have just been republished with beautiful covers. I do like the original ones.
I do, yes.
But the new covers are very, you know, kind of maybe appeal to people that would be put off with the original.
Yes,
does that make sense?
Because the originals are very off their time, aren't they?
Yeah, and you have to, the originals, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at it and you see something different every time.
Yeah.
Whereas the new ones are quite, you can kind of see.
I actually think I've talked myself into preferring the originals there. Because it's just like you were saying there. Yeah, I feel like, so these are books, I think, like my partner, he said that it's very 80s-ish, like this kind of illustration style of fantasy and... but I had never come across that before, so I had like picked up a picture book from a charity shop which was about like witches and dragons and thing, and it had illustrations like this, and he's like, oh yeah, that's, you know, like it's from the 80s. I was like, but I don't know, for me it's like magical and there's so much happening, and like you said, you can just spend so much time just looking and figuring things out.
The one
out.
I've got here is The Colour Magic, and it's got the luggage on the front, and for people that don't know, the luggage is a big kind of, well, it's luggage, it's
sentient
chest,
luggage,
which it's got lots and lots of legs,
and it sometimes eats people things
and it kind of makes its own way places, and sometimes doesn't get there because, as you say, it gets distracted, or
I mean, you know, such is life.
But they are wonderful books, aren't they? And definitely recommend them to everybody.
Absolutely. So I think B is happy with our sort of
bonanza
of books. We have so many books that we've talked about. So do you know what theme that we have to prepare for next?
I do, and B is going a bit cryptic again. So I'm not sure if there's an exclamation mark, speech marks, anything happening here. But the
I
next
choose
one,
the punctuation.
Yes, I'm going to do a voice. So.
Okay.
Space.
Oh.
Yep, just space.
Oh,
make
wow,
an
that was a good voice.
Like,
yeah. Oh, no, I don't want a punctuation there.
No,
I think
it's
leave
just
space. I leave space after space.
So we can interpret that however we want.
Okay, great. Well, this has been an extra long episode because we have a lot of books to talk about, mostly Terry Pratchett.
Yes,
thank you.
And we
could
go on for another half hour.
We could have a Terry Pratchett offshoot podcast
in
itself. maybe. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.